Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. We know we have a wintry day out there this morning, and there's a lot of folks that can't be out with us, but we're glad that you're here. We pray that others will have safe journeys, and we know this is part of what God created. He says there'll be summer, there'll be winter, and so we are experience a little bit of winter. But that doesn't keep us from coming and worshiping and honoring Him. And so we're glad, you know, yesterday we weren't sure. I wasn't sure because of the weather down home was a little worse than what you folks had. And so I wasn't sure we'd be able to be here and meet together. But praise the Lord, here we are, and that's great. So I'm thankful that we can come and come together. So with those that are not able to be with us, well, we'll pray for them to be safe and take care. Welcome to each and every one. And I know Ron and Tina, they're down in Florida, so they're out of the weather. They're down there, and they in a big volleyball tournament. They play a lot of volleyball, and so they're down there enjoying that. And
baseball.
Okay, all right. Let me share here with you a few verses from Psalms 31. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thy ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock, my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For Thou art my strength. Unto Thy hand I commit my spirit, that Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord of truth. Amen.
For him, a word of this morning on these 428th, first and last verse. And Benny will have a prayer. Let's all stand.
Anytime I call of my journey over the mountains through the vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way. My soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine.
Amen. Dear God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come here this morning, we come, Heavenly Father, in great anticipation of being drawn close to You and feeling Your presence and just being blessed by being in Your presence. So Father God in heaven, we thank You that for this past week, the blessings of it, the help You've given us, and the things that we have enjoyed, Heavenly Father, and the protection and provision from Your hand of love. We thank You, dear God, for the good people of this church. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for this good place we have to come. Thank You for those that care for it and keeps it this way for us. And Almighty God, help us. Help us to be more grateful day by day of Your goodness. You are so good to us. And then, Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are absent from us this morning for various different reasons, some because of the weather. We pray, Heavenly Father, for them, that, Heavenly Father, You'd comfort them, and that they might feel Thy Spirit, that they might, if they are at home, Heavenly Father, and desiring to be here, might they feel the Spirit that takes place here in this church. strength that comes from being together, Heavenly Father. We pray for safety for those who are traveling throughout the land, those where the weather is bad, Heavenly Father, we pray for them. We pray safe journeys for them. Now, Heavenly Father, we come to you and we recognize that in our weakness, in some way, somehow, we are drawn away sometimes and we forget and we sin. Not intentionally, but we just sometimes do. And we ask that if there's any of us here this morning that have sin in our lives or we repented of that, and we ask forgiveness, we ask for cleanness. We want Almighty God to have clean minds and clean hearts and clean lives so that we can have open space for you to work in our lives, dear God. You're so good at that, and we want to always have your hand upon our lives, guiding and directing us into the good things you have for us. So bless our people this day. Help us, Heavenly Father, prepare for a good week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
For communion hymn, using number 146, sing the first and fourth verse. I hear the Savior say, my strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. The crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Come around the Lord's table this morning, reading from Mark, the 14th chapter, beginning the 22nd verse. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it, gave it to them, and they all said, take ye, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. He said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for remission of sin. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink in you in the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege we have to gather in your house on the Lord's Day, being around thy table, taking the invalids, be with each one that they can take up. You open your hearts and mind and see the message of the hour this morning and the sermon. Know it is now. God direct us. Save us in the end. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we thank you this morning for blessing us, for providing for us. As we bring back a portion of today's message, you bless both the gift and the giver. We pray that it be used for the better and life kingdom. We ask that you be with us this morning. Be the pennies that brings the morning's message. Forgive us when we failed it. These words we ask in right now. Amen.
Okay, a couple of things to share with you. Yeah, I saw you look out and doodle. Is the weather, what's the weather? Still looking okay? Rest of the day's supposed to be pretty good. Okay, as far as we know then, tonight we'll start our Bible study. And we'll still go for 4 o'clock until days get a little longer. And so we're in the book of Romans. Anybody wants to come and study with us tonight, for this evening, 4 o'clock, we're in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Also, I don't know, Donna, how I don't have on my list, and I guess it's not on our birthday list, Billy Sharp's birthday is today. And I don't know how come I didn't get it on my list at home, but I don't have. So take greetings back for a happy birthday for your husband today. All right. And I'm sorry I didn't get it on the encourager. I have a list there, and I just pull my list down, and I need to add some. All right. Let's see what else we got going. I got to get my three bulletins together this afternoon or tonight and finally get them all straightened out. I have so many people on my prayer list, and I try to get some of them down. Also, okay, as we look to our prayer list, then we have Donna. We're told that we could take Phyllis Bruin off of our prayer list. She's still in need of prayer, and you can still pray for her. The reason we say that, I mean, she's kind of, as I guess it's fair to say, sometimes she's stable as she's been and so forth, but still not completely well. So you can, I'll keep her on my home list, but we can take them off here. And I meant to ask Virginia about Terry. You had,
get a, gonna have surgery tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
They changed it.
Okay.
5:30 in the morning.
Okay, so
at UK.
Okay, keep him in your prayers there. What else? All right.
Brother Benny?
Yes.
We might put Agnes back on the list. Agnes McKinney? She's not doing too good.
Okay, all right. And also we have Vernon. Vernon would like to be here today, and he wanted to be here last week, but he's having quite a bit of difficulty. Let's keep him in our prayers. Mike is absent this morning, not feeling real well, having some digestive problems or so forth. Let's pray that will be, it will work out for him. Judy Carter, and we figured that they wouldn't be here because of the weather. And I called Judy last week. I felt bad about it, and because when we were talking about that, and I talked about, you know, God was interested in little things as well as big things. We were talking about operation of the heart, and we were talking about something. But I didn't realize that she had injured herself as bad as she did. And so it was more severe than what I thought. And I wasn't trying to belittle of it, you know. But I knew she wouldn't be here today because of the weather. She'd fall. If she falls, she could break that and it'd be a terrible thing the rest of her life. And so I just wanted you to know that what I said there, not realizing that it was as bad as it was, okay? I never want to try to make people think I'm belittling their what's wrong with them, because I did say, and I think it's still true, you know, God is interested in the little things that you have wrong with you, the little problems you're faced with, the same as he is with the big things, you know, and so he's interested in an affected toe just as well as he is in a heart problem. So pray for all those needs and so forth. So everybody, whatever it is that a person needs is important to them. And so that's the way I like to look at it, you know, that whatever's wrong with that person, whatever, how drastic it is, it's important to them. And if it's important to them, we know it's important to God. And if it's important to them, it ought to be somewhat important to us, I guess. All right. Long story. Let's see. And I told you about Ron and Tina there in Florida. And anybody else we need to make mention of here, other than to just keep all these folks in your prayers and just pray that God would be good. Isn't God good? I mean, we don't. Hey, and I have to share this because God is good, you know. You know, I told you about my blood pressure been running 180 on up, you know, for about all last year. And so went to the doctor and here recently and so forth. And you know, all last week I'm down to 129, 130, 125. And it's been running just all week long for the last 10 days. And now it came down and I'm leveled out and I'm in 120, in anywhere between 125 and 30. And man, that's great. Praise the Lord, you know. And God really works for us, and that's great. So keep those things. So continue to keep these people in your minds and keep praying for them, our service people, our nation, and just things that are happening in our world that we just be mindful of and pray earnestly about. We know God knows what's going on. And God just, you know, it's just like the scripture teaches, you know, if God's people join together and desiring these things to happen, but you know, if we're not concerned about them, how would we think that God should be concerned about them, you know? And so our concerns about other people are appreciated toward the Heavenly Father.
Four prayer hymns this morning, using number 116, first and last verse, and Virgil will have a prayer. Yes, I'll stand. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases, no, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles, He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. Words ever gift like the Savior given, no, not one, no, not one. Will He refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles, He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one.
Father, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for the privilege we have to gather here and study and hear Your word. Thank You, Father, for all You give us. We know that You're our Savior, the one and only true God. Father, to be Your will, we ask Your healing touch on the ones on the prayer list, the ones in the nursing home, also for the shut-in who are unable to attend. We also ask for safety for our men and women in service. And we also, Father, ask for safety in our travels as we go home today. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The invitation hymn be number 385, 385. Now this time the choir brings a special.
Oh,
Another person we want to keep in our prayers earnestly is Pauline. She's not here because of the weather, I'm sure. And she's just not up to par. She loves to be here. Folks like that who just, we know that she's sitting at home. She knows what's going on right here now. And she desires to be here, not able to be here. So keep them in prayer. Also, Doodle has back here on the back table for your tax thing, if you will, that he's prepared those for you. So you can pick that up there. And okay, and for you folks who are joining us in the Bible reading, and I put back there on the bulletin board up in the corner there a chart, and I forgot how I did it last time. I thought I had it for weeks last time, but I just made it out for a month. So at the end of the month, when you read that part, what you can check that off, and that'll kind of encourage the rest of us. If your name's not on that list, those are the names I put on my tablet that I said I had a pad back there. You folks that's going to read through the Bible with us, well, I put your name on there. That's on the list. But you can still get on that list. If your name's not on the list and you're reading through the Bible with us, well, put your name on there. Just write it out and keep that. And let's encourage each other. Now, also, I had some other things that I told you that I wanted to share with you, but what I've been led to do is I'm going to follow along, and somewhere in what you're reading, I'm going to be speaking from. Now, this is kind of dangerous, but I'll do this. While you're reading, if there's something that strikes your mind that you have a question about that you'd like to have more knowledge of, if you write that down and share it with me, I'll either work it in a sermon or I'll get one of the elders to answer it for you. And I'll use that sometimes, or we'll just have a study on it. So as you go through, well, if you have something, well, you can write that down. I don't know how exactly. Now, a lot of times I think about, well, Lord, give me something that will help our congregation and so forth. And then sometimes I'll just be reading in the scripture and something pops out at me. And I kind of contribute. I'm really not like a lot of the preachers, you know, God spoke to me and told me this. You know, the only way God speaks to me is through the scripture. And that's the only way he speaks to you. And so I feel like oftentimes I feel the Holy Spirit stops me at that place or brings my attention to a scripture that I share. And so that's what I'll be doing for the next little bit. I'll be going through our reading. Whatever you read this week, you're going to get a sermon out of some of that next week, somewhere, somehow. You might try to guess where it'll come from. And just like last week, I mean, what you was reading, you're going to get some from that. So it's the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis is where we're at, as Master Your Bulletin says. And so I was just reading, and I'd read that before, read on back, and I was reading on back, and somewhere that just kind of stuck in my mind. So go back to chapter 24, go back to chapter 24. And so I did. And it has to deal with the love story, so to speak, of seeking a wife for Isaac and finding the right wife for Isaac. There's so much teaching in that chapter that we wouldn't even start on it today. But there's some good points in that chapter for us that we can talk about. There's what, five characters in there, and each one of them we could talk on. Probably if I would ask you who's the main character in chapter 24, who would you tell me? But see, I would tell you that it's the servant. The main thing, you know, we probably 90% of the people would say, well, it's the wife for Isaac. And that's really important, but really it's the servant is really the main speaker, the main one in there. And sometime we might have a sermon from him, but I don't have that today. And so as I started then to look into this chapter and so forth, did you realize this is the longest chapter in the book of Genesis? 67 verses. Longest chapter in the book of Genesis. And did you realize that there is more verses in this story, of this love story, so to speak, of Isaac here and his wife, than there is in God uses in creation, all creation? More verses used here than there. I found that a little bit interesting. I thought about this passage of Rebecca and Isaac. And you know, I thought about Rebecca and Kate Middleton. you know, to kind of the difference somewhat in them. I thought on some similarities and some not. Kate Middleton and Rebecca are both beautiful women. There's no doubt about that. Matter of fact, Rebecca is one of 9 women that the Bible says are beautiful. It says that Job's daughters were beautiful. But 9 women in the scripture, it says they were beautiful. And Rebecca is one of them. Kate Middleton is a beautiful lady. Rebecca, both are beautiful. But what sets Rebecca apart, perhaps, is that although Kate marries a prince, William, who is in the future will be crowned king of England, Rebecca marries Isaac, from whom will come Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace and who is King of Kings. I thought that was kind of interesting. So I thought on that. And Kate Middleton, she was brought to her wedding place in a great big limousine. And Rebecca rode a camel. And it says that Kate Middleton, she walked down the aisle with a veil, you know, to be unveiled for her husband. And when we see Rebecca, when she got off her camel and went to meet Isaac, why, she put the veil on. I don't know why, I just thought about that and some of the similarities and some of the things that goes there to these two beautiful women. But taking a wife is a very serious thing. And it is a serious undertaking. Let me read a few verses out here to kind of get us started here. I can't go the whole thing, boy, too many. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord God of heaven and the God of earth that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman will not come, will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou comest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bringest not my son thither again. The Lord of God of heavens, which took me from my father's house and from the land of thy kindred, and which thou spake unto me and swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send an angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son, and thou thence. And if a woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear of thy oath. Only bring not my son again thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear unto him concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels and the camels of his master and departed for the land. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia and to the city of Nahor. Boy, there's so much in there. Why didn't he want Isaac to go back? Why didn't he want Isaac was born in Canaan and he never left Canaan. You know the reason for it? And the reason why he was so strong here, don't take my son out of this land. The reason for that, you know what? Abraham left. See, God said, I'll take you, I've given you this country, this Canaan land. That's yours. Abraham, if you remember, he went there and there came a famine and he went to Egypt. And in essence, God's saying, you left there. I told you that's your land. You should have stayed there. Abraham took that to heart. Don't take my son out of this land. We're not to leave here. You see, so you probably wonder why he didn't. That's the reason. That's the reason that the son can't go out of that land. He's not, you know, God said, this is your land, you stay there. Now, here's what Luke says. See, if Abraham had stayed in the Canaan land, what did he go down there for? But there was a famine in Canaan. And he went because there was food in Egypt, right? But if he had stayed in Canaan, you think he'd have died? No. God would have provided, and that's what God said. I put you there, I gave that to you, and you should stay there. No, Abraham says to the servant here, don't you take my son out of here. You know, he knew. Okay, but that's a different story. Take a wife here. Serious undertaking. Story goes about this rich man, you know. You know, today, people take wives very, how do you say it? What's the word? Do you want to use it? You know, just, you know, some it's an overnight thing. No. And this rich man, I read about this rich man, and he was at a party, maybe a nightclub, I don't know. He was at this party, and he looked across the room, and he saw this woman that had her hair. Boy, she was so beautiful. And he said, I got to have that woman. And so somebody was with him, knew him. He said, you go tell that woman who I am, and I want to marry her tonight. I want her to be my wife. I want to marry her tonight. So the guy went. He said, so-and-so here, rich man, all he does, who he is, he wants to marry you. Well, they did. They got married. And so the night rung on, and as they went home and they're preparing to rest, go to rest for the night, the woman, she walks over by the bureau. Are you ahead of me? You heard that? She walks over to the dresser and she takes off her hair. Hangs up. He said, that's not your hair. No. And she takes out a glass. No, that's not your eye. She takes out false teeth. That's not your teeth. Oh. So you want to be careful taking a wife real quick. Hey, this is serious business. Get Isaac a wife. But it says, don't take it from the Canaanites. Someone has said a marriage license is not a guarantee that marriage is going to work out, no more than fishing license will tell you you're going to catch fish. It just gives you the legal right to try. Oh, my. So it begins here with the instructions of Abraham to get a wife for Isaac, his eldest son. Not his eldest, his only begotten son of his rightful gotten son, I guess we could say. Rightful gotten son here to instruct him. Now here's something that I was telling you about. You know, some things that pops out to you that you want to know about. And so here's something that popped out of there that I don't know about. Maybe you can help me with. Is, you know, I don't know why Isaac waited until 40 years old. Isaac's 40 years old. Why did Isaac not get married until he's 40 years old? I don't know. Maybe you do. So I had to write that down. I've got to ask somebody, you know, but I don't know. Because most of the fellas back in that day were married at 20 years old or in the teenage years. Rebecca, I don't know how old she was when she got married. Abraham's 140. Isaac was born when he was 100. He's 140. Isaac's 40. And he's going to be the heir. He's going to be the one to replenish the earth, so to speak. He's going to be the lineage for the Messiah. Why is he not married till 40 years? Mama's been dead now for 3 years. Sarah died 37 years ago. I mean, yeah, 3 years ago. And why? I don't know. But maybe Abraham looks, and maybe it comes to Abraham's mind, hey, my ancestries, if that's what you, those who are to be born are not going to be born from me. They're going to come through Isaac. He better be getting married. And maybe he said, I'm old and I'm about to die and my son isn't married. Got to get a wife for him. So he calls a servant. And I'll give you a couple things about the servant here. The servant here, he was in line for everything Abraham had. This servant here probably was born to Abraham back in Haran. He's been with him all his life. And so if Abraham hadn't had any children, he would have, if he hadn't been Isaac, he would have been in line then for all inheritance. So you'd almost think this servant wouldn't be too willing to find a wife. But boy, if we had the servant on him, he really does. But so he sends, so he's got to go. But he says, don't get him from the Canaanites. Why not the Canaanites? They live among them. They've been living there for years. Canaanites all around them. But Abraham said, don't you put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear that you won't take a wife from the Canaanites for my son Isaac. Why? Well, did you ever think of Sodom and Gomorrah? That's Canaanites. The Canaanites are so nasty. They do all kinds of immoral things. They worship all kinds of idols. And Abraham is saying, if you take a wife from the Canaanites, they will draw him away. And God's got a purpose for him, and it's not a Canaanite wife. Very serious, I think, when young fellas is looking for a wife, or vice versa, is consider who they are, where they come from. Yeah, I think you ought to really think about it. Abraham's playing the part here. He's getting his wife. Today, parents don't have anything to say about who the son or daughter marries, do they? No, they come in and say, I'm going to marry John. And there you are. I had one son-in-law at one time came to me and asked me if it'd be all right for him to marry one of my daughters. But the others was all right. I mean, they was around somewhere, but they never just came and knocked on the door and said, Benny, can I talk to you? I want to talk to you about marrying your daughter. And you know what I told him? I said, I don't think it's a good idea. I really did. I mean, I like the guy and all that. But I give him some reasons why I didn't think it was a good idea. Yeah, it didn't help. Not too help. But I really think that parents ought to be involved with your decision making of who you're going to marry. Hey, your parents have been through some of that. They know. They're a little wise. And they can help you. They can help you. Don't take a wife from the Canaanites. You see, they worshiped all kinds of gods. And Abraham worshiped Jehovah God. From the time Abraham left Haran, actually Uz, he was lined up and worshiped Jehovah God. And of course, you know the promise that Abraham was given. And Abraham knew that through this lineage, the world was going to be blessed and such. And so he was very interested in. Now, Abraham says, go back to my country in verse 10 through 14 and 10. And he says, you know, the servant took his camels and made a camels to kneel. Okay, went to going back to his land,
Nahor. Nahor is Abraham's father. Yeah. Nahor is also, father. Yeah. And I'll get in here in a minute. Nahor is Abraham's brother. So that makes him an uncle, yeah, all right. So he says, go back to my home country. I had all that straightened out. Go back to homeland. And so he went back and to the homeland. Maybe we could go on down and read it. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, behold, Rebekah came in and was born to Bethuel, son of Malcolm, the wife of Nahor. Okay, so it's Nahor, his father, his grandfather, Abraham, okay, and their that's Abraham's brother, and went for a picture, okay. So back to the lineage. So long story short, this makes then Rebekah a great niece to Abraham, I believe it is. So anyhow, the lineage is going back kind of far, that the intermarriage thing is not a big problem. Go back to my homeland, back to my family, because, you know, they were of decent people, so to speak, the rightful people to get from there. And I got the lesson considered here that a Christian man should seek a wife of his own belief. Now, I know, and that's all right, don't get mad at me, that's really what, see, they believed in Jehovah God. The Canaanites did. So one lesson, I think, that comes out of there, you go back to the Arkin folks, back to people of the same belief. Canaanites believed in idols. Abraham and his flock and so forth and his family believed in Jehovah God. So one of the things he said, you go back. And I'll say this, and I've told young people this, that you ought to consider, one of the things you ought to consider is your religion. I'd rather say Christianity, but religion. And you should do that, because it's a problem. We, in our home church, we had Jenkins family, good families, and so forth. Nothing wrong, I'm just going to tell you this story. But one of the Jenkins guys, who had been in a Christian church for years, married a woman out of the Baptist church. And so what they did, I guess in their arrangement, they said, well, we'll go to your church this week and your church next week. So they did that for years and years, didn't they, Maxine? One to the other. They had a son. Now, it puts a heavy load on the son, doesn't it? So people watched and wondered, what will the son do? They continued. Now, when the son got up to the age of accountability or to make his decisions, what's he going to do? Is he going to go on mom's side or dad's side? Kind of tough decision, maybe, in a sense. But he made the decision, and he went on his dad's side, went on the Christian church. And he's still there in the Christian church there now, and he's one of the leaders in the Christian church. But wouldn't it have been better if he hadn't had to make that decision? If mom and dad had made the decision before, wouldn't it have been better for the children? Fortunately, they only had one child, so that wasn't a big thing. But so often, it causes a problem. That's what Abraham was recognizing here. It was a real problem. And I know, and please, like I say, don't get mad at me, but I mean, think about it, because you can have your thoughts about it, but I'll stand on my thought that if you're going to get married, choose one of the same belief, because troubles can happen many times. Paul says, don't be unequally yoked. Now, most people take that to be considered marriage. I'm not too sure that he's talking about marriage. Because you can be unequally yoked with many things. Here's two men going to get in business. Would I go in business with a Catholic? And I'm not knocking Catholic. Virgil, I'm not doing that. I'm just, as an example. No, I wouldn't. Would I go in business with a Jew? Boy, that would be tempting because Jews always makes money. But can you see the conflict that would be there? No, you would want to be equally yoked. And I think that's very true in marriage. You want to be equally yoked or you can't pull the wagon. You're going to be in trouble. Great lesson there. Great lesson. Touchy situations. Oftentimes, it becomes an issue between a man and his wife when they marry out of the thief, and it often causes conflicts. And here's another thing: when you marry, whatever your belief is, and you marry a non-believer, like Maxine did, it's a problem. It's a problem. See, Maxine used to go to church. She grew up going to church. I didn't. So when we got married, that's one of the mistakes she made on that. She don't make too many mistakes, but that was one of the mistakes. See? Because what happened? If that happens, if a girl marries a man, she's a believer and he's not, you know what usually happens? He draws her away. So I kept Maxine from going to church for several years. My demands on her, because I was seeking the world and the things of the world. I had no interest in the church whatsoever. And because of my interest, and she's my wife, and she's subject to the husband, she then gives in. I know several people who says, I can't go to church because my husband demands we gotta have dinner on Sunday at 12 o'clock. And I knew a woman that came to the Bible class, and she'd go home after Bible class, and when I asked her why she didn't stay for church, she said, my husband, and he worked on a farm, see, he had a farm, and he did farm work. So on Sunday, he was out on the farm working. And she said, my husband demands that he have his dinner at 12 o'clock. You see what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So young people just, hey, we're in love. We get married. They don't think about all those things. That's why counseling comes in and so forth. So it's good. I'll give you some examples. Bear with me. You know it's kind of bad outside and you're not going to do anything anyhow. So think about this. I jotted down some things here. You remember who Esau married? Two high-tight women. Boy, that really grieved Jacob and Rachel, didn't it? They didn't want him to marry those high ties. Problem. Isaac told Jacob to take not a wife from his daughters of Canaan. The danger is there. Samson. Wow. You remember reading the story of Samson, and Samson come home and told his mom and dad, Mom and Dad, I met this woman down there. Go get her owner for my wife. Mom and Dad said, Samson, you don't need that woman. You know, Samson, she's a harlot. And she's not good for you, Samson. You know the story. What about Solomon? Solomon got one wife. That was all right. But he got another wife. Another wife. You know the story. Who you marry? Is it important? I think that Abraham had it right, didn't you? You get me a wife for my son from our belief, from our people, who is mindful of the Jehovah God. Jehovah God. There. Trouble begins when Samson married. Man, the trouble began. Numerous Christians can testify to the fact that their spiritual lives have been made infinitely more difficult since yoking yourself with them who do not share the commitments to God to say nothing of bringing children into the environment. That's a real thing, real problem with a lot of families, bringing children in. You got half a dozen children, and one believes, another don't believe, or one believes one way and one believes another way. You can see how this could become a dysfunctioning family. Great problem. I think we see that in there. I think it's lessons for us in there. But let's hurry on here. A couple of things we'll get out of there. You've read that story. Just read it a week ago. The servant, what I really want us to see in there, is God at work in lives. Why? Abraham honored and worshiped God. And he told the servant, you know, when the servant said something about what if this woman won't come, he said, the Lord God will go before you. Will go before you. And if you remember reading the story, when the servant gets there, gets to the well, and what's he do? He prays. He prays that God, Abraham's God, now I believe that the servant honored Jehovah God, but he's dealing now with Abraham and Abraham's God to do right and good for Abraham. He says, then, he says to God, God, give me a sign and so forth, that this right person that comes will be the right person for my master's wife. Now, he's at a well there in the city of Nahor, Nahor's city, near Mesopotamia, and he's there at that well. Now, that's a good place to find a wife, because the women are the one that comes to get the water. That's the tradition. Men don't come to the well to get water. Women comes, some at morning and some at night, to get water for the household. That's a good place to find a wife, and I'm sure that's why he was there. And so as he sits there, he prays. And if you remember reading that story, that as he was praying, that which Abraham had told him is taking place. Abraham said, the Lord God will lead you to the right person. As he was praying, Rebecca comes on the scene. Now, I don't know whether there was other women there or not, or whether Rebecca was the first one to come that evening. Nevertheless, she came. She's coming, and she's a beautiful lady. And he sees her. And one of the things was, you know, that I'm going to ask her for a drink of water. She gives me a drink of water, then that'll be the one. That'll be like a fella going into the pizza parlor, you know, and saying, I'm going to stand here till this woman comes in, or let me turn that around. This woman goes, this young gal goes into the pizza parlor, and she stands there and she says, the next fella comes in here and orders a large pepperoni pizza with mushrooms on the top of it. That's the one I'll be marrying. And also, if he gets some breadsticks and Mountain Dew, I'll know for sure that's the one. You know, it's almost that silly, isn't it? But that's what he asked. He said, now, I'm going to ask for a drink of water, and if she gives me a drink of water, that'll be the one. But he said, also, if she will say she's going to water my camels, then I'll really know that's the one. And there's a whole sermon right there. Really know that she's the right one. Well, here comes Rebecca, and he gets up and goes over. Give me a drink out of your water. And she's done been to the well and got her water, and said, give me a drink of your water. And she's got this clay pot to carry on her shoulder. That thing's not like a little bucket. It's a heavy thing. She lets it down and said, drink. And while he's drinking, you know the story, she says, now, he doesn't say anything to her about the camels. That's the real catcher in it. She says, well, I'll water your camels too. Now, this shows you the character of this woman. And if you're looking for a good woman, you want to look for one that'll water the camels. You think for a moment what she was going through. Now, she is a beautiful young lady. She's out of a family. She, as we know later, has a maid of her own. But here's what she does. She says, drink, master, drink. And she says, I'll water your camels. Those camels could drink up anywhere from 20 to 50 gallons of water. They come through the desert. And up in that hump, they could store anywhere from 20 to 50 gallons of water. Now, to really get the picture here, so he's got 10 camels. So imagine how much water it is. Now, do you understand the difficulty of getting that water? I've read about them, and someone said, those wells are down in. And sometimes they make a slope. They dig out a pathway down, and it'll be go down to where the water is down there. And sometimes they put steps, and they can be 100 or more steps down there to get that water. And she's just got this jug. I mean, how much does this jug hold? I don't know. 2 gallon? Gallon? I don't know. So you visualize what she just committed herself to. She's going to carry 10 times 20, that's 200 gallon, anywhere from 200 to 500 gallon of water. How many trips she would have to make to water those camels? But she did. That showed what? That showed character. And boy, that servant said, boy, that's the lady, you know, servant. All right, we got to end this. We got to quit. Let me see where we'll end up. The sign. I don't know whether, you know, I think that every fella and every young lady ought to pray about who they're going to marry. I don't really think you want to put out a fleece, though. Really, I don't. I think the Lord, I really do think that the Lord will guide you if you pray. I really do. And I you might ask for a sign, but I don't think it's necessary for that. But I really encourage you people to do that. So she returns back to Canaan land. God answers a prayer, and so you know all the discussion and all. Here's one thing I want to tell you, though, don't tell your young girls too much about this story, you know, about the servant giving her the things, you know, because it says that when she did that, well, he took out of the bag and he put a ring in her nose, a gold ring. Now, don't tell the girls about that. Don't tell the girls about that. Put some bracelets on her arm. $6,000 worth. The gold ring in her nose and the bracelets were $6,000. And on them 10 camels, you read the story, how much riches is on that, made this deal with her. And she went back, and lo and behold, and here's Isaac back there, and he's out in the field, he's meditating. I don't know whether he's praying, Lord, what's this woman going to look like and all that? And so, man, I got a lot of woman stories I could tell you about that I know of. I know about this guy that wrote to mission and got a mail order wife. I'd like to tell you that. I haven't got time. But I don't know what Isaac's thinking. Isaac knows the servant's gone to get a wife for him. And he's out in the field meditating. He's meditating. What's she going to look like? Will I really like her? Will she be willing to water my camels? I don't know. And he sees the dust coming, and he sees the camels. They say that it's so dusty you could see the camels coming from a mile away when they come.
caravans and so forth. He sees them coming, and he looks up, and she looks up and sees him. And she gets asked, "Who is that? Who is that?" And the servant says, "That's my master." And she gets off that camel and starts toward him, you know, and she puts that veil on, starts toward him. And they meet, and now his mother's been dead for 3 years, and so he takes her into his tent, into her tent. Now that's real comfort for him. His mama's been dead for 3 years, and so he hasn't had the love of a female around. So he has now this one to be his wife, takes her into mama's tent, and he marries her. And here's something. Michael, pay attention to this.
Yes.
And it says he married her, and then he loved her. Isn't that opposite of what we see today? Oh, we just love each other. You know, you really don't know love until after you're married. So love ought to always come after marriage.
Be careful of that flashy love that comes before. I like that. He married her, and he loved her. He loved her. You ought to study on that a little bit, fellas. Okay, let's end the story. So they lived a happily ever after. I wanted to end that with another fact.
Listen. Some says that that's a typology of Jesus, God, Jesus, and the church. And we are the bride, and he is the groom, and he's going to come for the bride and take us to his tent called heaven. That's a long story, and I'll stop, though, because we're running along. But let me say this. You think about that love story there and what took place, and you think about God and about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be married to Jesus? I do. I want to be in his bride. I want to be his bride. The church is his bride. And he's already married the church, really. And it says he loves us. He loves us. If you want to have a wedding, come this morning as we sing the invitation. If you haven't joined yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, come. Boy, I wish we had another hour. God's blessing on us, will you, please?
Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for the safety and protection of this warm home, this warm church, Lord. We thank you for the message that was delivered by the Holy Spirit to many, Lord. We ask you to help us to meditate upon these words, to grow in Christ, and to grow in faith, and to bring us all again here next Sunday, Lord, to do thy will, to hear thy word proclaimed. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.